Hallelujah, praise God. We just read Psalm 136, in which we read the journey of the children of Israel from Egypt to the promised land where they reside this day in Israel in the Middle East. From Egypt in Africa, from the mighty hand of Pharaoh to the land of the Canaanites, which is now inhabited by the children of Israel. When we read Psalm 136, we only see God's mighty hand. It says in Psalm 136, verse 11 and 12, "With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, God brought out Israel from the land of Egypt." With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. But this is spoken in the book of Psalms, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But Pharaoh did not see that strong hand and stretched out arm. The children of Israel did not see that strong hand and stretched out arm. But instead, they saw another hand, and it was the hand of Moses. When Moses stood before the Red Sea, he stretched out his hand and the rod that was in his hand, and the Red Sea split apart. When there was war with the Amalekites, Moses lifted up his hand, and Joshua had to support his hand with the rock, which stands for Jesus Christ. And then when Joshua marched into the land of Canaan and got near Jericho, Joshua stretched out his hand, and the people saw the hand of Joshua. And they walked around Jericho and shouted, and the walls of Jericho came down flat. The people of Jericho did not see God, nor did they hear the voice of God, nor did they see the hand of God, but all they saw was the hand of Joshua and Jericho. When the children of Israel went to fight with Ai, Joshua lifted up his hand with the spear. And I, inhabitants and Israel, saw the hand of Joshua. So in all the journey of the children of Israel from the land of Egypt to the land of Canaan, until they conquered the land which the Lord had given them and promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the world and the Jews saw the hand of Moses and Joshua. We also learned that in the Middle East war that took place in the 19th century, when a crucial battle was being fought by the Jews, they saw Moses with his hands lifted up and folded, praying to God, until the Jews won that war. So in the Bible, the 66 books of the Bible, although it says God with an outstretched arm, when we read it, and if we had been there before Jesus was in the flesh, we would have seen the arms of man, the arms of Joshua, the voice of Joshua commanding sun and moon, stand still. When we look at this evidence, the Bible is saying God stretched out his arm, and the people seeing not the arm of God, but the arm of Moses and Joshua, one secret in the Bible is becoming very, very clear. God, though he does miracles and signs and wonders and manifests his authority, he does it through his children. He does it to the hands of his children. That is why in the Old Testament, in the book of the prophets, the Lord says in the book of Isaiah, "Ask of me concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command you me." God says, ask. That is called prayer. And then praise. That is giving glory to God. And then command. We read the instance when Jesus was sleeping in the boat. The 12 disciples were watching the storm. And Jesus, woken up by the hands of his disciples, rises up and raises up his hands and says, "Peace be still." And the disciples are shocked because the wind and the waves obeyed Jesus Christ. And as soon as he lifted up his hands and commanded, "Peace be still," they were still. And Jesus looks at his disciples and says, I mean, he's not angry that they woke him up. He's not arguing with them saying, "Why did you wake me up? I was sleeping really well, had a nice sleep." But instead he says, "Where is your faith? Why do you have to wake me up to still the storm? Why did you not lift up your hands? Surely there are 12 people. I am only one person and you are 12 people. One of you could have lifted up his hands and said, 'Peace be still,' and the storm would have obeyed you. You had the authority." Because in John chapter 1 it says, to those who accepted him or received him, meaning those who obeyed him, to them gave he the authority to become the sons of God. Now Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and we who have obeyed are given the authority to become the sons of God. We have come to a climax in history. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come soon. Meanwhile, the demons, Lucifer's gang, is already in the world. And some have said there are at least 1,000 demons for each and every person that lives in this world. So if we count the physical, earthly eye visible numbers, it appears that the sons of God are outnumbered. But what we do see in the Bible is that when the prophet Elijah saw an army surround him, he saw something that his servant did not see. His servant saw the army of the devil, the army of the enemy. And he went to Elijah and said, "What are we going to do? There is a big multitude of mighty men that have surrounded us." And Elijah, although he saw the army of the enemy, he also saw the hills. The Bible says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." And he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire. Where is flesh and where is fire? There is no match. And so Elijah comes to his servant and says, "There are more with us than with them. With them is the hand of flesh, with us is the hand of God, and the horses and chariots of fire surround us. And so he lifted up his hand, and the army of the enemy became blind. Every mighty warrior became blind, they could not see. And he led them to the court of the king. And when their eyes were opened, they saw that they were surrounded by the army of Israel. And one of them said, "Now's the time, let's go ahead and strike them and kill the enemy, because they are surrounded, they are captured." But the prophet said, "No, give them food and water and send them on their way." And the Bible says they came no more into the land of Israel. In the Bible, and today, the Lord wants the sons of God, the body of Christ, his children, to be in a commanding position, not in a receiving position. When Moses cried to God at the brink of the Red Sea, God told Moses, "Why are you crying to me?" Was God saying that it was not important to pray? No, God was saying there's a time to pray and there is a time to command. Ask of me concerning the things to come, and ask of me concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Command ye. That is what Jesus did when he was in the boat. Remember, the disciples said, "What manner of man?" They didn't say what manner of God, but they said what manner of man, because Jesus called himself the Son of Man. So, the Son of Man, the Son of God, and the sons of God sounds very similar, because we are all part of the same family. Our big brother Jesus, when he was on this earth, our eldest brother, commanded God's creation, and they obeyed him. And the Bible says, to them that obeyed him, he gave them authority to become the sons of God. And the Bible goes a little further to say, creation obeyed Jesus because of one important thing that Jesus did. It is true, he was the Son of God and he was the Son of Man, but the reason creation obeyed Jesus is because of one important concept in Jesus' life. Let us turn to Philippians chapter 2. Verse 8, 9, and 10. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. And let's find out why creation obeyed Jesus. Why everything obeyed Jesus. Why everything was subject to Jesus, the Son of God. And find out what we need to do as the sons of God to have the same authority that Jesus had. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. Actually, we can read verse... Yeah, amen.
Chapter 9, 9 and 10, right, Pastor?
Actually, Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 to 13, brother.
This one, Pastor. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Amen. Hallelujah. Here we see that important concept. Philippians chapter 2 verse 9 tells us why the heavens and the earth and the universe obeyed Jesus, who was under the authority of God the Father. Everything else obeyed him. Why? Because the Bible says in Philippians 2, 8, and Jesus being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Even though he was the Son of God and the Son of Man, he was obedient. First, he was obedient to the will of the Father. He was obedient to the Word of God. He was obedient to the commandment of God the Father that he received every day. And because he was obedient to God and his word, the Bible tells us God made everything to bow down and worship Jesus. He made everything subject to Jesus. He made everything obey Jesus because Jesus obeyed the Father, God. And in verse 12 says, wherefore, my beloved, you also obey, just like Jesus obeyed. The reason the wind and the waves obeyed Jesus is because Jesus obeyed the Father and the Word of God. We see the sons of Sceva looking at what Apostle Paul is doing and what Apostle Peter is doing. And they tell the man that had the demons, we are also the sons of a high priest. Note, not the sons of God, but the sons of the high priest. And they command the man that had the demonic spirit, we adjure you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. In other words, Paul is preaching Jesus. We don't know who this Jesus is. We don't know who this Paul is. But all we know that Paul is preaching a person called Jesus. And because Paul is using that name Jesus, it's just a magic word, we think. So it should work for us. So we command you in that magic word, Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out of this man. And the demons that were in that man said something that was outstanding. Sometimes when the demon speaks something that's outstanding, it's a little shocking and surprising that the demons would make such a confession. When Jesus Christ was in the world, the demons confessed. The people didn't, except one apostle. The demons confessed, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Apostle Peter was the only one who made that confession and became a Son of God. I know Jesus and I know Paul. Now remember, the demons did not say, I know Almighty God, Jesus Christ, and I know Apostle Paul. They did not use the word God. They did not use the word Son. They did not use the word man. Nor did they use the word Apostle. They just said, I know Jesus and I know Paul. Because Jesus and Paul are one and the same. Jesus obeyed God, and therefore we obey Jesus. Paul obeyed Jesus, and therefore we obey Jesus. But who are you, disobedient bunch? Who are you to command us when you don't obey the commandments of God? You have no authority to command us when you don't obey the commandments of God. And therefore, the demons attacked them. And almost killed them, but they left that house wounded. And we also see Joshua, who commanded the sun and moon to stand still. There is a time to ask, and there is a time to command. If we obey God as the sons of Almighty God, creation will obey us. Everything will be subject to us. Even our circumstance will be brought into the subjection of Jesus Christ who lives in us. We need to live a life that is obedient to the Word of God. Some people live a life that is obedient to their wife. Some people live a life that is obedient to their children. Some people live a life that is obedient to their company. Some people live a life that is obedient to the government. Now, when all of these are in accordance with the Word of God, whether it is wife or children or company or the government, then it's our duty to obey. But when these four entities speak things contrary to the Word of God, it is our duty to stand firm and say, no, God, we will obey. King Nebuchadnezzar commanded that a golden statue of his image be built. And he told everyone, fall down and worship this statue. That was the commandment of King Nebuchadnezzar, the emperor of the ancient world, the golden head, the golden empire, as the Bible calls it. The Bible states that everyone obeyed the king except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who disobeyed the king but were obedient to the King of Kings, who was the God of Nebuchadnezzar. And because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego disobeyed an earthly king but obeyed the heavenly king, the fire was subject to them. And when they came out of the fire, the king and all his armies and all his people and governors saw that the fire had no authority over Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Not even the smell of smoke was on their garments, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego obeyed God, the King of Kings. And then we see Daniel, who prayed 3 days. There was a commandment of the king. You cannot ask a petition or prayer to anyone for these 30 days except King Darius. Daniel said, says who? I will obey my God, not King Darius, at this juncture. And they cast him into the den of lions. They were terribly hungry. But the lions obeyed Daniel. When Daniel said, sit down, the lions sat down. When Daniel said, stand up, they stood up. When Daniel said, close your mouth, they closed their mouth. Because Daniel obeyed God, the King of Kings, the lions obeyed him. Even Joseph, who obeyed God, stood before Pharaoh, the emperor of this world, and Pharaoh obeyed him. The Bible says in the book of Genesis that Joseph was a God unto Pharaoh. That is a remarkable statement. Joseph was a God to Pharaoh. That is why the Bible says, I called them gods. In the words of Jesus, I called them gods unto whom the word of God came. When Saul, King Saul, went to the woman that had a familiar spirit and said, raise up for me Prophet Samuel, she did. It was Prophet Samuel whom she raised up. And her face was troubled, and she was shivering and trembling. And King Saul said, what happened? Why are you shivering and trembling? Why are you afraid? And she said, why did you do this to me? Because you're King Saul. Why did you disguise yourself? For I see gods, G-O-D-S, I see gods coming out of the earth. And she said, who do you see? And she see, I said, I see a man with a beard, and this is how he looks. And King Saul said, wow, that is Prophet Samuel. And Prophet Samuel spoke to Saul and told him what was going to happen. And he said, why are you disturbing me now? I saw gods coming out of the earth. Why does the Bible call them gods? Because a man who obeys God, Jesus, the King of Kings, and the Holy Spirit, is called a Son of God. Unto them that obeyed him, to them gave he the authority to become the sons of God. We are the sons of God by the grace of God and the mercy of God. We are part of God's family. We are not angels, we are not cherubims, we are not seraphims, and we are neither Gabriel nor Michael the archangel, but we are the sons of God. Apostle Paul said in the book of Philippians, for this cause I bow my knees before the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family of God in heaven and earth is named. Obey God, fear nothing but God, and command your environment. Jesus said, if thou look at that mountain and command that mountain, saying, be uprooted and be cast into the sea, and you have been obedient to the word of God, which is the actual name or meaning for belief or faith, for it is no abstract thing. Faith is like the faith of Abraham, who obeyed God. And if you obey God and his Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, then you can take the promise of Jesus that said, command this mountain and it will be cast into the sea. Ask, praise, command. If you have not commanded yet, but have asked and praised, if you have obeyed the entire word of God, the Bible from cover to cover, you have the authority of the sons of God. They may not see God's hand, but they will see your hand. Apostle Paul was a prisoner. He had chains in his hand. He was brought before the king. They cried, saying, kill him. The crowd cried, saying, kill him. Apostle Paul stood before them and lifted up his hand and commanded What did he command? He didn't speak it openly, but he commanded, "Peace, be still." And the Bible says that when Apostle Paul, even though there were chains falling from his hand, and he was handcuffed, when he lifted up his hand and motioned and commanded, there was pin drop silence. The people obeyed the prisoner, because the prisoner was Apostle Paul, who identified himself as the prisoner and slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless these words and strengthen us. Hallelujah. Praise God.